Yeah, going back to Digger, I mean, I guess, you know, that I would say that in each generation of Gloucester, you've sort of had an enforcer in the side.
Yeah.
And Digger was that, I think, for many years. And yeah, before him, Bumps yeah. Carpenter was...
Yeah, wonderful.
Did you know Bumps Carpenter?
No. I'll tell you what happened. I'm now on the committee of the Barbarians, and we play three or four games a year, and we try and play a club team, because we are a club. We're not an international team, we're a club. And we went to Clontarf, and that was just last year, because they were 100 years old. And we took a team commensurate with their team, and we lost. It was 28-29, just what you wanted. It was a wonderful thing for them. 2,000 people turned up to watch, and they took us to a party afterwards. Lovely, you know, and they all enjoyed it, you know. And that's what the Barbarians is about, and you don't have to win all the time. But they produced a sort of souvenir programme with it, and I just picked this thing up and looked, and just going through it like this, and there was Bumps Carpenter. There's a story about Bumps Carpenter that he only played once for England, and yeah, he was this. And I thought, just looking at him then, there was a photograph of him in the strip of that era. And I thought, yeah, mate, you didn't have to tell me. When I told you just now, you knew an old player was a good player because of the way that he treated the current players. And I knew he was a good player. You could see that he was a hard man. And the many people, when I started in Kingsland, the hooker at Gloucester was Ken Taylor. And he told me about Bumps, and Bumps was a hooker. Yeah. And... you know, I didn't try to live up to that because I didn't know, and I didn't know the level of hardness they had.
Well, he was a miner from the Forest of Dean, so.
Yeah. Those blokes that come out of that sort of work on a Saturday morning and go and play. Mm-hmm. You know, I always think about the Aberavon boys that come out of the steelworks and the other underneath that come out of the mines. I have total respect for those fellows because it was a part of their life, and then they went out and played, went back to work the next morning.
It's interesting that Bump's name should come up in the context of the Barbarians, though, because I came across a quote from Bumps, you know, well after his playing days, yeah, in which he said he valued the fact that he'd been selected for the Barbarians above his England cap.
A lot of people do say that now, not so much in the modern era, because we have to get contractual release for them to play temporary from the primary contract holders, and that's what I do in my business anyway, so I do that as on an honorary basis to help the Barbarians continue. It's not something I'm paid for, but I can understand that, and for him to have that tribute all those years later posthumously,
he made his mark, I think we could say. Yeah.
But from my point of view, though, I picked it up and I looked at it and I looked around and I didn't want to tell anybody else.
But I think, in terms of Gloucester enforcers, if I can use that word, there was Bumps Carpenter, there was Digger Morris,
yeah,
and then there was you.
Yeah, for a long time they had we lived in that culture, and where that came from, where I learned that from, because I didn't play with Bumps. You see, I didn't play with Digger. I knew about Digger, and Digger he instilled in me what we had here. And if you were Gloucester forward, there was no way you stayed. And I accidentally said that to someone, and the bloke who's publishing the book said, "We'll call it Never Stay Down." And that came out of the story when I had a good hiding in Cane's Cross. There was a little kid with blood running. There's nothing worse than the taste of your own blood, is there? So I was telling that story, and Dig actually, he said to me, look, get up, son. He actually pulled me and I said, get up. I went, you know, you've had that. You can't ever imagine it when the wind's out of you, mate. You've got a job to do. But I got up, and I tottered and walked, and then he said, "You're all right." And I got 10 yards where he said, "Mick, it was number 4." So he told me who it was, and that's in a way, you get the shirt, but with the shirt comes responsibility. And if you're going to play for Gloucester, you have to take the responsibility of what they are and what they always will be. It's an emotional thing that when we ran out from the other side of the field, and when you ran down those steps, God, it's something I can't explain it, you know, that when you're when they kick the ball to you, you didn't jump and say they come and tackle you. You took the ball, bang, and then poof. I've seen players shout my ball and not take you. You never do that. Digger, if you stood under it, mate, he said, yours. And that's where it all came from. So when they tried to knock in at my kids about when I was a senior man, oh, well, I dealt with it, you know, in that way. Yeah. No, not in a way that it wasn't gratuitous. They had to offend before I dealt with it. But if we had kids coming through local rugby and they come in, you could see the loss. You could see it on their face what they where they were. They were alone. That somebody said you're playing for Gloucester, and suddenly there's a moment, there's a space, there's a silence. And that's when you've got to go and say, well, Ace, you're right. I've seen tears, you know. And when you say, right, listen, now you're better than him. No, who was he? Oh, you can say you're going to go and deal with it for him, but no, you got me. That's when Jack Folk and Peter Ford said to me in so many ways, without speaking, well, Mick, you're on the floor now, you've had that. Because if you went down another, you got kicked. There's no doubt about that. And you had to be up again, and that you had to then carry the game on, get your possession, and deal with the bloke. Because Gloucester played a style. We played with a big pack of forwards who weren't fussy where they put their feet, but were completely they were clean, unless they took liberties with us. Two centres that could tackle, and we had a goal kicker. If you go back to Don Rutherford, Eric Stevens, Peter Butler. Go back to Parker, all the years ago, Harold Belton, yeah. All those blokes, we've always had that. Billock, you see, and that's how we played. And when we got, you know, 6, 9, 12 in front, suddenly they'd score a try, but we were still in the game, and we had that doggedness, and they call it Gloucester Dog. And the teams I've seen come here with all those internationals in them and all these big players and all that, they were nothings to us. The more of them there was, the better we played. And that's how it was. But that, to just to recap, to come down one of those steps with that jersey on was the biggest thing you could ever do. Because as soon as you look right, the shed.
Mm.
Sure.
Yeah.